The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Yeah, Being Here.
Being Here is all there is.
Really?
Actually, it's not all there is, but that's all it takes.
That's true.
I mean, the name of the show is The Art of Being Wealthy, and all it takes to have wealth in your life is by being here. You know, it reminds me of that time we were in Australia, Perth, Australia,
and
we were visiting some friends who had a meditation center that they built out in the outback. And one morning, the hostess of the meditation center said to me, there's a lady here who does my embroidery, my sewing, and if you'd speak to her, she's very concerned about money, and she'd like to speak with you guys. So we spoke with her, and we were at breakfast, and there were these incredibly beautiful
strawberries. So we invited her to have breakfast with us.
To have one of these amazing strawberries. They're big and luscious, and they tasted like real strawberries should taste.
You know,
they smelled great.
Oh, yeah. You know when real strawberries really smell wonderful?
Ripe and perfect.
And they taste.
Oh, got my mouth watering.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, now we know. So, she said, I'm not interested in strawberries, but I
want to know how to make money because I'm feeling upset.
So I said, well, do you like strawberries?
Yes, I love them. They're my favorite fruit. But please, Ariel, Shia, can you please? I'm in trouble financially.
Well, why don't you have a strawberry?
What good does that do? I love strawberries, but not now.
Well, if you love strawberries, you should have one.
She couldn't see the wealth at the table because she was so locked in her worries and concerns and story
about,
and complaint
about her life. So,
that's our launching point today.
You know what that story also proved?
That we finish each other's sentences?
That, and that woman didn't
listen.
That's right.
She didn't listen.
She didn't listen. So
I love that you asked that question. I'm like, what didn't she do? She didn't listen.
That's right. So, why are we talking about listening?
Because listening is such a key for being here and pulling you into the moment.
Wealth in your life.
Because if you're not being here, if you're lost in your thoughts and your internal commentary.
See, and your life is taking place in the current moment of now, and this is all there is, this moment. But if you're worrying about something in the future that hasn't gotten here, well, then there is no wealth in your life, no matter how much money you have in your bank account.
So,
or stocks, or bonds, or houses, or boats, or planes, or whatever.
As I know, many of you listen to us frequently, and thank you for being our listeners this year. We really, and today, even this year, this moment, we appreciate you. It is part of the wealth of our lives.
Right.
And you know that we speak about listening because it's such an important component, and today is really an opportunity for you to strengthen that skill set of being present through listening.
And when we talk about listening, we're not talking about thinking about what we say and seeing whether you agree or disagree with it. We're not talking about, seeing how it fits into your life and how you can use it to generate something.
And it may, when we speak, it may generate tangential thoughts about your life. For example, when we spoke about this woman who has so many concerns about her finances, you may have concerns about your finances right now. So you may skip off to think about, oh, yes, I have that debt and this debt.
Well, if you do notice it, it's nothing wrong with that. Just bring yourself back to what's happening in the current moment.
Gently,
without making yourself wrong for having left in the first place. You see, your mind is a survival machine, and it survived by thinking about possible horrible futures and how to avoid them.
It's so true.
But you don't have to live in that space yourself.
Chances are, if you're feeling less than wealthy right now, you're upset.
That's right.
Because even with very little finances or very little food, last night Shai and I were laying in bed, and I thought, wow, I'm in a house that's warm, it's cold and raining outside, I am wealthy. I'm really wealthy. If you have a device to listen to this show on,
you're wealthy.
In your thoughts.
Yes, except if you disagree. Now, agreeing or disagreeing isn't listening. Oh, well, Shia, you don't know how hard it is for me.
And it might be hard, but there's a way out. And the way out is in, by being in this moment rather than in your thoughts.
Right. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
We have a caller.
We'll talk with her,
Let's
too.
Let's take her, shall we?
Claudia, are you there?
I am. Hi, Ariel and Shia.
Hi. Are you calling us from Oakville?
I am calling you from Oakville, Ontario, Canada. Yes, I am.
Nice to hear your voice.
Yes.
A proud resident of Oakville.
Yes. And it's interesting, the definition that we have of wealth, because yesterday I was on my very first international call, and with you and with people from all over the world, and I was feeling so wealthy in the sense that I have all these friends from everywhere, and after the call. I was on Skype, and so the people I was Skyping with moved the computer around, and I got to see all the people that were there, and I just felt so close to them, even though we were miles and miles and miles away.
That's
and
great.
That to me is just wealth.
That's great.
That's sweet. Yes,
yeah,
too. In New York City, we do seminars most Monday nights. When we're in the area. And about once a month, we do an international teleseminar, which is what Claudia is referring to. And most people call in, but from time to time, the connection from certain areas, it's a little more challenging. So those people have gotten
techno savvy
and have Skyped into
one of the hubs.
The hubs that is having the call. So it was really lovely having you with us yesterday.
Oh, it was amazing. I just, it was great. But we do have a definition of wealth. The first thing you think of is money. And
the first thing you think of is money.
Because when you say that you're not being responsible, that it's your mindset.
That's right. You're a unique individual. Maybe other people also think of money, but you can't make it a generalization for all humanity.
Right. Yes, I see that. And yes, and growing up, I thought of money because of where my parents talked about money. We didn't have a lot of money, so money was a huge thing in our family in terms of, you know, just where we lived and how the food that we ate, etc. And now, I'm just being. I have the luxury of being and being in the moment. And even though, yes, I need money, it's not the main part of my existence.
Okay.
So look, your parents and their parents and their parents' parents, and we can go back ad nauseum, that means like till it gets nauseous, they all had a really hard time surviving in a very unkind world. You know, humanity has improved somewhat in certain areas of the planet. In other areas, people are just as barbaric or backward in their thinking and committed to their beliefs as though those beliefs are the truth and reality, even though they were handed down those truths and beliefs from people who came before. Now, your parents lived through a very difficult time, the Depression. Yes?
Yeah, yes, definitely, and a war.
And
yes.
At least one war.
Yes.
And their parents lived through a war.
Yep.
And everybody else's parents lived through wars, because there's been wars since the beginning of humanity, and, you know, the competition for the food supply and the good land and the good water and the whatever. And so there's been this history of very unkind and brutal environments that we've come through to get to where we are now. Now, in Canada, where you are, or in the United States, where we are, there are luxuries that didn't exist in our for our families, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'll
but
tell
they
you.
Weren't wrong for giving you the idea that money was difficult to come by. That's the way they thought about it. And you just absorbed their way of seeing.
Yes. But the reason Shaya gave that explanation to you, Claudia, is when you were speaking, you weren't relating a fact that we talked about money a lot in my background, what we ate, where we lived, it was really subject to money because there wasn't a lot in my family. Well, I basically just reiterated the same thing that you did, but I wasn't making my slash your parents wrong for it.
Right.
See, here's the other thing. Being wealthy is really about being complete with your parents. It's
right.
Almost impossible. You know, I'm a huge fan of Judge Judy because I get to see, well, first off, I think she's brilliant, but secondly, I get to see how the average person looks at life. And you see, I notice that people who are incomplete with their parents turn whoever they live with or work with into their parents and have the same incompletions. So they come to Judge Judy in a fight about being wronged the same way they felt they were wronged by their parents.
You know, we always talk about listening, but we could equally talk about being complete with your parents in every single show.
We could.
Because when you catch the vestiges of how you think, and how you think that they should have, or in fact could have done it any differently, you'll see that you are never free because you blame them.
And if you're doing your life in opposition to your parents, then you do what they did in reverse.
So, in effect, you're saying two things at once. You're not only saying, wow, you know, I really experienced being wealthy. You're saying, I'm really experienced being wealthy, unlike my parents who gave me this burden that I have carried forward, but I'm getting beyond.
Did you catch that, Claudia? This is the good stuff. Because if you start to see this without judgment, without judging yourself as wrong for having these vestiges, then they will become, they will lose any power over your life. Then you will be the determiner of your well-being, not something in opposition to how your parents did it or said it or were.
Wow. You know, I thought I had, and this is going to sound funny, I thought I dealt with that, or I thought that I had...
You thought you were over that already.
Yes.
Yes. People always say, oh, I thought I was over that already.
Yes.
There's one lady who came to a workshop several years ago, and I said, and she said, my business is failing. I said, well, you're incomplete with your father. She said, no, I'm not. I handled that in therapy.
And then she looked, and she kept looking, and over a period of time she kept looking, and she discovered multiple things, one of which was she got back together with a friend of hers from childhood who said, oh, man, your parents, your mom and your dad always threw the best parties for you.
Birthday
I was always
parties,
so jealous because, you know, your dad got you this pony. And she realized that in her memory of all those parties, her dad didn't exist. And that she was still at war with him. And it's something that comes back anytime she gets upset or when life doesn't go according to her agendas, that habitual not listening to men or fighting with men shows up with her husband, her child, who's a man, and also with her male bosses. So it's when you have something that is a pattern, rather than looking to be over it, notice that it's a possibility for you to have that and pay attention to whether or not you're operating through it or if it's something that just comes along for the ride.
Right.
See, Claudia, it's all about self-discovery in a non-judgmental manner. If you start to see the way you operate and don't judge what you see, you become like an anthropologist. You know, our approach is not psychotherapeutic. It's not about fixing problems. It's about bringing awareness to how you're going about your life, but awareness non-judgmentally, not awareness as though there's something wrong with what you discover. It's all perfect.
Wow.
And that's really all it takes to have your life transformed, too, is to start to see the way you're operating into life without judging yourself for being the way you are. You can't help but be the way you are. Although a lot of people would like to change the way they are. But then again, they wouldn't be happy
even if they did. There's so much more to talk about that, about changing oneself. But it's time for a break. Can you come back with us after
Absolutely.
The break?
Absolutely.
That's great.
So we'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back.
Don't miss
Being Here.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, The Excellence Club.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shaya Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
This weekend, we are doing the Freedom to Breathe and Art of Being a Healer course in New York City. We have people coming in from all over the place, California, England, from Germany, Switzerland, lots of different places, Atlanta.
Georgia.
Hi, Shannon. So if you would like to join us, it's not too late. Just go up to our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. Also, in January, if you want to launch the year off with transformation, we're doing a money, success, and happiness, wealth as a lifestyle course, January 9th, 10th, and 11th. It's a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And you are invited. It's going to be wonderful. You still with us, Claudia?
I am. Just one thing while we were on the break, one of the things that I've noticed since we're mentioning incompletions with our parents is that I've noticed that when I get upset or I get worried or there's something else going on, that my mother comes to mind. And you've mentioned this before, that I have incompletions with my mom. And, you know, I appreciate her for having provided a place, you know, a house and food and clothing and all of that. But the one thing that I missed from her was her affection.
Oh, give me a break.
Really? Are you really?
Give me a break. Look, Claudia.
Claudia, that was a nice try.
I had a story like that before I was transformed, you know? But if you're going to be transformed, you really have to give up that sentimental caca that your mother wasn't there enough for you. Look, or wasn't affectionate enough, or wasn't... Look, you turned out pretty good, haven't you? Right now.
Yeah.
You're in pretty good shape.
Yes.
Yes?
Well, that included
that your mother didn't give you as much affection as you thought she should have when you were a child.
Yes.
As a child, you had that thought, and you've been repeating that thought.
Yes.
It's a repetitive thought. It's garbage. It's caca. It's mind blah, blah.
It's funny. You know, you say, well, I would have liked to have had more affection.
I would have liked to be born into royalty.
I would like to have lived in a palace.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, it's like... Kids have ideas of what they should have, and if you have that idea that she doesn't give you enough affection, two things happen. One is you're oblivious. You do not see the affection she is giving you, and you actually repel affection.
So you can be right that your mother didn't give you affection.
I'll give you an example. Monday night, a woman came to this past Monday Night Alive, and we had...
Say Yes to Your Life.
We did a Say Yes to Your Life, and we had done, before Thanksgiving, which is a big holiday here in the U.S., we'd done a holidays made easy, and we were talking about listening to your family and giving up being right, which, by the way, leads to wealth. And she said she went home, and her sister, who was always, she considered her lesser, she had all of these ideas about her that were contained in the repetitive story that she held about her her whole life. And she actually listened, and she realized how wonderful and brilliant and caring
and amazing her sister was.
But she never allowed it before because it was contrary to her story. She just disregarded it.
I see
You're
that.
You're thinking now.
Wow. I've actually seen it myself with our kids. If our kids have something going on with one or the other of us, when we're on the phone with them, for instance, it's as if... when our daughter is upset in herself, or she has the idea that her dad doesn't care, when this has happened, then Shia will say, "How are you?" And she won't even hear that he's spoken, and she'll only speak to me. It's as if being right that
is more important than being alive. Now, here's another piece of this. Children can't go and get a drink until they're 21 in the States. Is it that way in Canada?
It's 19 here.
19 there. Okay. Your mind is not fully formed, so you can't... Okay, children can't sign contracts in this country until they're 18. Is that what it is in Canada?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, because until you're 18 years of age, your brain is not fully developed. Children's minds are not fully developed until they reach a certain maturity. That being said, the stories you have told yourself about your childhood were recorded from an incomplete mind of a child.
And then sophisticated.
Over time, because you've told it to yourself over and over and over, so now you have more than sufficient evidence that your mother wasn't affectionate enough.
Right.
To use your words. It's all crap. You didn't see her affection when she was affectionate because you were being right that she didn't give you candy, you know, Cocoa Pops or whatever.
Shelly's mom wasn't super affectionate, but it's the components to him being the great man that he is today, and he has no resentments.
No. You
know, she didn't know how.
My mother suffered through the depression by, at age 13, supporting her family of seven people.
And he could have had the typical complaint, my father was never home, he always worked. Well, his dad always worked from age six when he climbed in the wheel well of a train to go across Russia.
To get dried fish from the Caspian Sea or wherever to bring home to his village to be able to support his family at age six.
And losing toes to frostbite.
And losing toes to frostbite. So, you know, you can find fault with how your parents were. My parents did whatever they did, but I am responsible for my life, for my experience, for my own well-being. Nothing they did has in a psychological modality, your past and what's happened in your past determines who you are in the current moment. But from an anthropological point of view or a transformational approach, none of that has any power over your life.
I have a silly question.
Yes?
What did you eat for breakfast?
Oh, I had a smoothie.
Okay, so you had a smoothie.
Yes. It's with blueberries and kale and avocado.
Okay, it's enough.
I just needed smoothie for my example.
You could mix in a little kale and avocado. Though.
Fine. Berries, avocados. It's as if you said, oh, man, I wish I would have also had mango to put in there. It would have been a better smoothie. I would have been happier if I had mango to put in there. And you repeat that every day of your life and say, you know, my life would have been happier if I would have just had
some
more mango attention.
Wow.
More affection from my mango.
Okay, I can.
Hey,
I really see that now.
Hey, I want to thank you for calling in. I want to thank you for your vulnerability and your willingness to discover those vestiges of your own mental prejudices against your life that you've exhibited and expressed here today that allowed us to share this phenomena of self-discovery with everybody who's listening.
Well, particularly because people lose their experience of wealth when they're holding resentments about something.
And or regrets about
something. You've given people such a gift today. Thank you so much,
yeah.
Claudia.
Oh, thanks, Claudia.
Thank you so much. I just thank you. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay,
we've got
to take another caller.
We have Eric on hold in New York.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Wow, listening to the show while waiting is amazing.
Doing the show while not waiting is amazing. We love this show. We never expected to go here today with Claudia, and what a gift.
Yeah, sometimes when I call in, I have something specific I want to say, or I'll make a note so I make sure that I have something specific to say. I don't have any notes. As I was listening, I realized my prejudices and how the truth is I've been feeling more and more wealthy as time goes on. And I've had some financial stumbles along the way and things to handle. But I feel like I'm the wealthiest I've ever been, even while having to deal with some things that might make the numbers in accounts look different. For instance, I have a preconceived notion that in order to really be wealthy, the numbers in my accounts have to equal a certain amount or more.
I just want you to know that when you reach that number, it will grow. You will have.
You will never have enough.
It's a sliding scale.
And I'm gonna interrupt you for just a second to tell you about a story my accountant told us that he got a new client who had just through a marital divorce settlement been given $25 million.
And sat in his office.
That's after taxes. So she had $25 million.
You sound like the lottery. $25 million.
Well, yes.
And she was very upset, thinking she wouldn't have enough money.
That's right. That she would somehow lose that money. So
that it wouldn't last.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Well, that is an interesting point of view.
But you can say, oh, well, give me $25 million and I'll see if I'm worried. I bet you would be. If you have a propensity to worry, it doesn't matter how much is in your account.
Right. If you have a propensity to get upset by life circumstances not going the way you want, then you will get upset no matter how much money you have, no matter how many cars you have, no matter how many airplanes you have, or how many houses or mansions or whatever else there is out there that you think proves you a better person because you have more than someone else. None of that matters if you're not wealthy. You know, like well in yourself.
I like that. You know, I have a car, I have an apartment, I have money in the bank, and when I feel well in myself and busy with interesting, fun, or productive things to do, those things really aren't on my mind. It's when, you know, those things are a really good barometer. I know we've talked about this. I've heard you talk about this on the show and in seminars. When I start to worry about money, that's one of the indications for me that something is out of whack or I'm saying no to something because, for the most part, I don't think about those things. I just do my life. And it's really rare that suddenly, you know, oh, my car, you know, I wonder, you know, a thought I'll have is I have so much mileage on my car. Oh, I hope it lasts. What will happen to me if this car doesn't start?
I'll tell you what will happen to you. You'll get another car.
If you still need it,
yeah.
Which you probably will because you go up, you commute between New York and Boston.
I'm sorry, what was that about?
She said you probably will need another car if yours were to break down because you commute between New York and Boston.
Right, I still have work I do there, but it is interesting. It's less frequent as time goes on, which is fine by me.
But you know the thing, too, you have to, well, you don't have to do anything, but I caution you that you could think that if you have a thought about your car or car payment or money, that you could hold that as a distraction or, oh, it's a barometer that I'm not okay, when really sometimes it may be, you know, I have something I need to attend to.
Right.
We recently spoke with some friends who got a huge tax assessment, not expecting it. And they didn't want to look for the last couple of years that they were earning significantly more money than they had in the year that their taxes were based on. So they just spent the money and they paid their taxes, but they so grossly underpaid, because it wasn't here in the States, so it's a different system, that it caught up with them. And I guarantee you they had the thought from time to time, you know, we probably should check into this and see if we're being responsible or if we're doing this correctly. And then if they're like most people, you kind of go, nah.
Right.
Because
there are things you don't want to look at.
Right. I understand that. But there seems to be, though, a difference in the quality of my emotional... When I look at that, like, this...
Eric, we met you most recently, when you started attending our workshops, you were upset about just about everything.
Yeah, that's absolutely
true. So upset was a normal way to go through life, as it is for most people, by the way. Moments of fun, moments of, oh, this is nice, but
moments of streams of upset punctuated by moments of fun.
Right.
Or apparent successes.
Right. A lot of valleys with a few hills.
Few valleys.
Well, there's a quote about fly fishing, or it's something like it's long periods of boredom punctuated by moments with the potential for glory or something.
Something like that. That was well said, Ariel.
I've never gone fishing with you guys, but I would suspect that there's not long moments of boredom.
Well,
but there is a...
You see, there are long moments when there's nothing happening, and if you're thinking it should be different than it is, it's boring. That's what most people call boredom.
For instance, you'd think fishing is about catching fish, and if you have that agenda, then when there are no fish, you are not wealthy. You are poor. But if you are there for the minutiae, for the detail of the cast,
for the wildlife that you see and visit with,
then it may take 1,000 casts, but you're well.
I'm wealthy.
I mean, out not that long ago, we were out the entire day, caught nothing, and we had a good day. We have to take a break.
So,
can you come back with us?
Absolutely.
We'll be back shortly.
So come on back.
And don't miss
being
here.
Here.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, The Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction, now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Hey, welcome back. We want to make a shout out to Stefan in Lucy, Florida. Thanks for listening to the show, Stefan.
Okay, you with us, Eric?
Yes.
Excellent. Oh, before we speak to you again, I realize we have our calendars available for next year, the Transformation Made Easy calendars. They are gorgeous.
Ariel took all the photos.
And if you want to see them, just go up to our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. There's a link on the homepage. It also has all of our schedule for the year, including the radio shows, but also the weekends and workshops and the
European and international workshops.
There
as well.
You go. So, Mr. Eric, it was great speaking with you today.
It's great to speak with you, too. I was just thinking, by the way, that and this may be a little odd, sex is a lot like the fly fishing thing, in that it's...
How do you mean?
My experience of not... If you're going in for a result, and I feel somehow it's tied to wealth in my life, if you're going in for a result when you're in that intimate experience, it's very different than just being there.
Well, you know,
and really
see, what you're talking about, Eric, when you talk about going for a result.
Like, as in an orgasm, for instance?
Yes.
Or prolonging it before your orgasm.
Or not losing your erection or any of those.
Or any of that. If you have
right.
a goal at hand or an idea of where it should go, you're not really being in your experience of the sexual experience. Of intimacy.
Right.
You're directing.
Right.
So that's the difference between change and transformation. Transformation is when you're in your experience of living rather than talking to yourself or thinking about it, whether it's going the way you want.
And that's part of what
yeah.
was so neat about talking to
with
Claudia is because our minds are structured in change. We want to see ourselves make progress, get somewhere. That's the function of the mind. And the
but you're not your mind. You are a being. And if you've been listening to your mind, you think you're that.
But if you resist your mind, you're caught in it. First principle.
It's still the mind.
Anything you resist owns you. So, again, I wouldn't judge yourself if you go for an outcome from time to time. It's part of being human.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sometimes known as quickies. All right.
Yes.
We have another caller,
yes,
so we really should take him. He's been patiently waiting.
And for some people, this is too much information.
But thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
We have...
Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. You with us?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're very good, thank you. What can we do for you today?
Oh, I was just thinking about your fishing conversation, and it reminded me of something.
Okay.
But it just slipped my mind. How are you guys this morning?
Say that again?
It just slipped my mind. I took one little peek out the window and thought about how much of a beautiful day it was, and it completely went out the window in my mind.
That's interesting.
Well, you may have just gotten a little reactivated, all that sex talk.
Oh, yeah. No, that was interesting. Sorry about my voice, by the way. I came down with the flu the other day, and I'm still recovering a little bit.
Okay.
It's one of life's things. Sorry about the phone.
Oh, yeah?
Well, our phone is ringing.
That's my phone. Oh, it's Hawaii.
You can turn the ringer off.
So,
Dad's getting a call from Hawaii. That's why it sounds like the William Tell Overture.
Oh, I couldn't even hear it.
What talking to you tells me, Aaron, you're just not fully engaged.
No, I don't feel fully engaged.
Well, you spend time thinking about whether or not you want to or whether you like.
You spend time thinking that life should be different than it is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what you have is not it. You should be further along in your career. You should know what you want to do already. You should have a girlfriend. You should have the job of your dreams. The only problem with all that is you'll find something to complain about with each of those things.
Yeah, I recently started a new job, actually. I mean, it's definitely not the kind of job that I would, you know, consider a dream job, but I've actually been really, really happy with it.
Great.
I was sitting and talking to one of my coworkers the other day, and I was kind of keeping my eye out for things to talk about with you guys, and I just had a moment of real happiness when I was talking with my coworker.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, and I just felt really, really, I guess wealthy would be the word since we're talking about it today. I just felt really good.
Great. Well, that's great. See, here's the thing, Aaron. You still indulge yourself. You give yourself permission to get upset, to disagree with how your life is, to complain in your thoughts about your situation, whatever it is, your circumstances. You know, transformation is really about giving up your bratty nature.
Huh, yeah.
And stop acting like the world should take care of you rather than being responsible. And most people never reach that state of being where they give up their bratty nature. They want to be right about what they want to be right about. And so you have an opportunity to let that stuff go.
Yeah, every day.
Not even every day.
Every moment.
Every moment. It's a moment-to-moment thing. I also have a suspicion that you're not always using your support structure as consistently and well as you can. I'll tell you what I mean. Not talking about you in particular, but I know that one of the things that's really important for me is if I start to find myself wanting to go down that path of not feeling well in myself, it's really important to, A, not judge it, which just compounds it. But B, speak up about it. So I'll say, wow, Shai, I'm having this really strange conversation with myself, and I'll tell him what it is. Or I'll call up my friend Amy and say, hey, Amy, you know, tell me I should take a break right now. And she'll say, Ariel, take a break right now. I'll be like, wow, thanks so much. And then I take a break and I rejuvenate. I'm a little different than you. My version is I tend to
work all the time.
Work all the time because I enjoy it, and sometimes I work past my capacity to do it. I have a feeling that if you get lost in a loop of being upset about something, and you speak to one of your friends, and if they offer you a way out, you don't take it.
Yeah, that's sometimes the case.
So you're getting something from being upset. Now, this may be, Aaron, similar to what we were talking about with Claudia earlier. Where
my family?
Yeah, a lot of us would rather be right. That
our parents, our family was the wrong family, our parents did it wrong. I mean, my parents, when I was a kid, definitely didn't do it right enough for me. My friend's family was the best family. You have one of those, Aaron?
I mean, my father, he's always been trying to push me ever since I was little. And he had a heart attack when I was in college, and he wasn't really around that much after that.
Well, wait a second.
Wasn't able to give me advice, but I don't blame him for that.
Well, you say that.
And my mother's always supportive of it.
In what you said, there was blame.
Well, you didn't like being pushed either.
That's right.
You don't like being pushed by your dad. When you look in the mirror now, you're going to have to see him looking back at you.
Oh, definitely.
And as you get older, you're going to look more like he looked.
I'm glad he's not balding.
You're glad he's not what?
Balding.
Balding?
Well, you got to thank God for some of the small favors you get in your genetics. In any event, you know, in your statement, there was a complaint about how he was.
Well,
and if you don't see it, you will continue to do so.
It's similar to Claudia. I don't know if you heard it with Claudia when she was talking about, well, my parents weren't there.
My mother didn't give me enough affection.
Well, even before that, when she was talking about the amount of money and how she learned the conversation,
right.
It wasn't just flat. There
right.
was a
charge
hidden
in it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you realize it or not, you have such a charge in you.
And
it's not bad or wrong that you have that, but if you become aware of it without judging it, it can release you from itself.
I'd get interested in all the sneaky ways you complain.
Yeah.
Because even when you said, I have this job, and it's not something I would consider my dream job.
That was a complaint.
It was a complaint
against you. Yes.
And you liked the job.
And you may even like it, but it's still a complaint. See, you're so in the habit of complaining that what you have isn't what you want, that habit just runs automatically and steals your satisfaction.
And even if you like your job now, if you don't see that you have the propensity to complain, that complaint will corrode your experience of your job. And even if it's a wonderful job, it's something
at
that you can blossom
point,
into at some
you'll,
point.
You'll have to leave it because it isn't the right one for your mind.
Right.
Hence divorce, for those of you who are listening. Because you can start corroding.
Prince Charming turns into a toad.
Yes.
As opposed to the opposite way.
Right.
It's supposed to be the other way around, isn't it?
People are often like, how long have you guys been together? You actually like each other. Well, yeah.
32 years
mm-hmm.
it's been.
32 and plus.
And kicking out. Yes. So, that's the story, Aaron. You know, you got to give up your bratty nature if you want your life to be magnificent.
You know the other thing, Aaron? There's one thing that I think will really, really make a difference for you and also for the rest of our listeners, and that's when you take your attention off yourself and see how to take care of the other people around you. That's when you're really wealthy. You discover you have something to give.
Yeah, I really like when the attention is not on me. But, I mean, sometimes I feel like that's just a scapegoat. Like, I should be, you know, making sure that, you know, I'm doing the right thing. And if I'm just making sure I'm taking care of other people, you know, that's well and good. But then I'm being irresponsible about myself.
Well, how can you be irresponsible about yourself?
Well, just like, you know, I have responsibilities that I have to, you know, take care of. And sometimes...
Like what?
I mean, I have to get a good job so I can support my family and so that, you know, they'll be proud of me. And I have to, I don't know, I guess I do sound kind of silly, don't I?
Well,
no, you don't sound silly.
Only to you see, because you edit what you're saying as you say it, and you judge yourself, and you listen to that voice that calls itself Aaron as though that is you, the being, and it is not. It is a conversation that has been with you forever, that finds fault with how you are, and you can never do it well enough to make that voice happy with you.
And by the way, we're almost...
Get over that one.
We're almost done with the show for today, and we're going to need to go shortly, but taking care of other people and taking care of yourself go hand in hand. So, for instance, if I have a seminar to lead tomorrow and I stay up reading all night... I'm not taking care of myself, and I'm certainly not taking care of other people because I'm being irresponsible. So they both go together. They're not exclusive. And next week's show, everybody, got to say, if the best holiday gift is you. It's certainly an extension on taking care of other people. And
well,
when you take care
of
yourself,
other people when you listen to them and you're there for them, rather than work on what isn't in your current moment.
Thanks for listening today.
Hey, thanks. Aaron?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, man. And
yeah, thanks for talking to me, guys. It's great.
Yeah.
Yes. And so are you.
Take one to know one.
What your voice says.
We'll be back next week, everyone.
So come on back.
Don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.